Welcome to the 23 podcast, in which me and my dad will be sharing our sometimes similar and sometimes differing perspectives on music and pop culture.
I am DJ Ambush the Father.
And I'm Zion Logan the Son.
And welcome to the 23 podcast. I don't know like if that's ever going to get old.
Nah, it won't.
I love it. It won't. I love it every single time. So, man, it's last time we gave them back-to-back double whammy of episodes.
Yes, our double feature.
Double feature. So now I'm really looking forward to this. I feel like we haven't done a rap album in a while.
Yeah, not a solid.
For a major release. But before we jump into any of the content, how have you been since the last episode? You're finally on winter break.
Yes. My shoulders, they're like back to a reasonable level. They're not up to my ears anymore.
The tension.
The tension is... It's died down quite a bit.
Okay.
I'm kind of excited for the holidays to be over. I'm ready for 2020. I'm really anxious for 2020.
Whole new decade. You just ready to just dive in?
Yeah, I'm ready for 2020.
Holy crap. I'm not. I mean, I guess I am.
I have such high hopes.
Music wise? Just everything?
Yeah, everything.
There's a lot of good movies coming out in 2020. I'm definitely looking forward to that.
Yeah,
it just feels like it happened so quick, especially this last year. Man. It just seemed like, oh, not for you.
2019.
Drag.
It dragged. Like, this year was not like, I don't know. This year was just like a lot of realizations for me. All right. A lot of like self-discovery and just like extra.
Your face had self-discovery.
Because it's like, it's good, and I don't regret any of it, but it's just like, geez, I could have used like a sticky note like last year telling me that this was like coming.
This is going to be wild.
Right.
Yeah. I feel you. It's been really good on my side last couple of weeks. I'm happy we're back. Now we're three episodes back, man. Killing it.
Yes.
Or are we like, no, we're four episodes back. This will be the fourth episode since the return. Killing it, B. I heard killing it. Excellent things going on with the radio station. And yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to next year. Now that I think about it, it just feels like 2019 just slipped right through my fingers. Like it happened so quick. It really did. All right. So let's hop into what we've been listening to. I gave you Ludwig Göransson's The Mandalorian, which is the theme song from the TV show. Fabulous Choosy, Roz Kaki, Stroh Elliott's Selection Performance.
That was an experience.
Oh my god. And P-Rock and CL Smooth, I Gotta Love. So let's run through those. What did you think?
The Mandalorian, I was like, okay, we're back to the the cinema. I'm like, this is like right up his alley. The cinematic feel. Like I can understand. He's probably like cooking to this.
I'm definitely gonna make that my alarm song in the morning. I'm gonna wake up to that, and I have to.
Yeah, you did this. You've done this quite a few times. You'll slide in those, and I'm like, this is like a score from something.
Yeah, I freaking love it. There's a early in the song, there is, I guess, I don't know if those are flutes or whatever, or those initial instruments are, but when it goes through that arrangement the second time, there are lower chords that come in with it that create a harmony that's just like, oh, God. Because it's supposed to, you know, it's supposed to simulate music and instruments from a different planet. So the way they did the arrangement there, it's just... Oh yeah.
Yeah, it was bold. It felt like, I just feel like when I was listening to it, I wasn't ready.
You should have been doing something else.
Yeah, like, I feel like I needed to be like running track or like, I don't know, exercising.
It's classic space western music.
Yeah, it makes me want to get active.
Yeah, yeah. All right, so Fabulous is on here. Y'all may or may not know this. Fab is on my ban list, meaning I'll listen on my own time, but I will not play that music out.
Yeah.
Because of the domestic violence situation. There are other artists that are on my band list. I don't play Michael Jackson anymore. I haven't played R. Kelly God knows how long. And I definitely don't play Kanye.
Strangely enough, that Fab situation really hurt me to the core.
Really?
Yeah, because I'm like, I don't know. You just don't expect Fab to be like a bad guy.
Right.
I don't know. He's always just had like such a chill vibe.
Very chill. Very chill. And here's the thing. I was going to say, not that he is a bad guy. No, he did a very bad thing.
True.
Someone that listened to this project, as a matter of fact, the homie Sean, shout out to Sean. He's one of my interns over at the radio station, 96.7. He said when he listened to this project, he heard Fab trying to make everything right. So I'm going to listen to it again and pay more attention to the lyrics and see what's going on. The outro on the album, he's got the kids on it. And I didn't like that because it felt like he was trying to tug on heartstrings by having the kids on the album. But if what Sean is saying is true, and this album is him speaking through his art, then I can accept it just like I accepted Aziz when his latest special, apologizing and really, you know, pulling everything full circle and understanding, you know, how he mishandled that entire situation.
Right.
So, I'm you know, give another listen. But what'd you think about the song Choosing?
I really like the song. I don't know. Is it Davido or
DeVito?
DeVito.
Because he's, I think it's Davido. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. Because he said DeVito and it sounded weird when he said it.
He's been bringing it lately.
Killing it.
Like, a few years back, he was like viral for being a meme.
Really?
I mean,
that's,
like,
that what did it?
Like, he had like his music going, but he messed up kind of bad during a freestyle. And there was just like this clip of it that was just like a meme for everything. I think it was like 2015. God. But to see him like surfacing now and just like bringing it is cool.
It can't be worse than the O'Malley freestyle. Do you remember that? On Sway in the Morning. And O'Malley was freestyling. And he did not, like, he was attempting to freestyle, like, come off the top all the way.
Man.
And when he couldn't get words out, he just started.
Yes. I know exactly what you're talking about.
O'Malley.
He was in the boo. He was putting down a reference track.
That's what he was doing.
That was a reference.
You can't be referencing, B. You can't go to Sway in the Morning and be dropping reference tracks, B. Can't do it. Okay, so you like Choosy.
Yeah.
What'd you think about Ross Cocky?
This was right up my alley. I like this. It gave me more laid back Chromeo vibes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was here for this.
I heard this in a venue. God, I wish I could remember where I was. And immediately I'm like, Siri, what is this song? Yeah. Oh, this is tight. This is dope. Oh, I was at, what's that, Revolution Hall? Yes, I was at Revolution Hall. We were doing a live broadcast for City Club, and I heard it. And I was like, oh yeah, this is tight. Definitely going to work this in rotation.
Yeah.
All right, now I'm going to save the best one for last. And what my opinion is the best one for last. P-Rock and CL Smooth, I Gotta Love. What'd you think of that?
I feel like I like them. Are they...
they're a rap duo. I think I gave you their first album a while back as an assignment. This is off the Main Ingredient. Yeah, this is the second album. I gave you their first album as an assignment. I'm almost positive. I could be wrong, but I'm almost positive about it.
Yeah, because I was like listening to it. I was like, something about this
sounds familiar.
Yeah, it sounds familiar. But I like the. I'm always here for like an easygoing, witty, boom bap offering.
Yeah.
I liked it.
And this is one of my favorite samples, favorite songs, favorite sample uses from Pete Rock. Like that I Gotta Love sample is just amazing. Like he killed that. And with the horns and everything, like, man, me and horns. Anyway.
Reasonable though.
Seriously. So. Stroh Elliott selection performance. Before you say anything,
okay.
I have a rip of this. I play it when I'm out. Like, I rip this joint have an MP3. Mm-hmm. I play it at gigs.
Like straight through, like, or do you have it straight
through?
Okay.
Sometimes I'll start or end a gig with it. Like,
it's perfect for that.
So when you listen to it, you watch the video, so you saw the performance.
Yes.
Okay. So this is around when I first started really messing with Stro, and I saw the clip, like a 1 minute clip of this on Instagram. I can't remember if it was on his. I'm sure it was on his Instagram. Excuse me. And he was drumming all crazy, and I was like, holy shit. And I remember sending it to Deuce. We were just blown away. Mm-hmm. So then I came across the entire, I think, 6.5 minute performance. Bruh.
It was wild. Like, just seeing him, like, go that off of one piece.
Yeah.
And I think that's the push.
Just the push.
The Ableton push. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, that was just, like, a whole experience.
Whole clinic.
I wasn't ready.
Yeah. His finger drumming is crazy.
Also, I think this is the first time that we have a performance as one of our our picks. Here for it.
I'm telling you, between that and the Mandalorian theme, I've been listening to those two the most since the last time we recorded. I just love watching him go off. There's a moment when he's drumming and he looks up at the camera, like, through the corner of his eye, and I'm like, every single time it gets to that point in the video, I'm like, you about to go off. And he just starts double timing those drums. And I'm just losing my mind. Right. Like, how are you not missing? How are your fingers not going where they're not supposed to?
Right. And then those, like, it's not even like a typical MPC where it's like chunky squares. Like, those are little itty tiny buttons.
Right.
Yeah. Sorcery.
Stro Elliott, sorcery. People are going to get tired of me talking about Stro, but I can't. I'm sorry. I'm just going to keep talking about him forever and forever. All right. So you gave me, I want to make sure I'm pronouncing this right. Is it Jeremy? We don't know. Jeremy.
I thought it was Jeremy, but I've heard Jeremy too.
Sounds like an African name.
Yeah.
Civilian on Heat. Trouble Man Without You featuring Steve Spacek. Hello. Jayla Darden, On to Something. Roman G. Arthur, Real Love, No Shade. David O, D&J, featuring Summer Walker. So.
Yes, I'm interested to hear what you have to say about these.
Jayla Darden, On to Something.
Yes.
In the video,
I
see her producing.
Oh,
she's a writer and a producer.
She goes crazy.
So, I'm definitely going to put her on my favorites in title. I need to spend a day with her. I don't know how many projects she has, but I'm going to do it like I did with Tinashe. I'm going to do a dive. Her voice is amazing. It's so rich. And the harmonies in that hook.
Right. Her arrangement, like her arrangement skills, like knowing that the artist is doing the production, it makes it like, it's not to take away from anyone who does it.
Of course. Of course.
But it's like, it makes it so like, it's like, this was strategic and this was from you. And you arranged these vocals like this.
Yes.
Like, it just adds, I don't know, it just makes it all the more.
Yeah. She's amazing. She's amazing. I want more Jayla Darden. I'm going to be all over,
yeah,
your projects.
I felt like you really take to her, especially after like knowing the last episode when you were talking about A. Marie and Tinashe.
Yeah.
I thought this would be up your
alley. You know. You picking at me. The Roman G. Arthur joint, Real Love, No Shade. It's from Insecure.
Yes.
I saw that in the comments. So it's from the second season. We just started to watch it. Was the third season? What season? How many seasons are they in?
Four seasons.
There's four seasons of Insecure?
I could be wrong. It's three or four.
Whatever the last season is, I haven't watched it, so they gotta catch up. But there are a lot of people in the comments that said they discovered that song from Insecure.
Yeah.
Which is dope. Very dope, very funky, excellent instrumentation. The musicians he has on that track, they are killing it.
Yeah.
They are killing
it. And then his voice.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, that's a hard song to carry vocally.
He's nice. I feel like, and I hate, you know, well, I don't want to say I hate doing comparison, but I hate the connotation that comes with doing a comparison.
Same. Same.
But he does, it reminds me of Usher. Mixed with someone whose name is escaping me right now. He has a song, Hot Stage Lights.
Darn.
You're going to hear me ticking, guys. You're going to hear me typing. Hot Stage. Van Hunt.
I don't know who that
is. He reminds me of a mixture of Van Hunt and Usher. And I like him. I like him. This is he's under Janelle Monae's camp, right?
Oh,
I believe so. Roman Jean Arthur.
Oh, I'm not sure.
Okay,
yeah, I only know of him from this song.
Okay,
it's just been stuck in my head ever since I heard it.
Yeah, I'm almost positive he's part of Janelle Monae's camp. Mm-hmm. I'm almost positive. Yeah, I definitely fucks with that song. Let's see. Trouble Man, Without You. So, is Trouble Man the producer? Or is he also singing on that?
I think that he's the one who's producing the track.
Okay. So this is a nice, cool vibe. It's a nice reminder for me to listen to more Steve Spacek. I feel like I haven't spent enough time listening to Steve Spacek. I know I'm missing out.
Yeah.
This song is an indicator of that. But I also want to hear more Trouble Man production.
Right. So I found out about this song through a friend's playlist. Like, it was just like their chill playlist. And I'll just go back to it and put it on shuffle in hopes that this song will come on. Because it's like, I want to get into new music, but I kind of want to hear the same song go
right
over again.
That's tough.
Yeah,
I want to hear new people making the same songs. All right, so Jeremy, Civilian on Heat.
I'm curious as to what you have to say about her.
A very cool, nice, chill, spacey vibe. Makes me want to, what's this here? I'm checking my notes here. Makes me want to sip wine and give relationship advice.
I'm here for it.
Yeah.
I showed her to a friend and they told me that this song gave them Sade vibes.
Okay, I can see that.
Not the, like the hook.
Yeah.
The hook.
Yeah. It makes me want to just like chill, room full of people, and we're just busting
studious
it up.
Studious vibes.
Yeah. I messes with her. I'm not as curious about her as I am about Jayla. But
gotcha. I feel that.
I do want to hear more, to just hear more of a range.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. This song and like the rest of the project, like this song is like kind of different from the rest of the project.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's why. But then, okay.
All right. Then you check out the rest of the project.
Yeah.
And then we got David O, D&G featuring Summer Walker. It was very dope hearing Summer Walker over
right,
the production.
Right.
That's what I was looking for. But it was still London on the track.
Yeah. So, that, like glue
London's
right
doing
now.
Afro beat, like. Wow, there's no escaping him. There's no escaping him on the track.
I'm here for the banding of an artist and the producer, and then the producer being in the forefront along with the artist.
Okay,
like especially seeing as he produced the majority of the project. Like okay. I'm here for the artist producer collaborative effort rollout.
Sure. But I just keep hearing his tag all over the place.
Yo, like whenever I'm like singing or like singing with a Summer Walker song, it's literally a part of the lyrics now. Like it's just like, we got London on the track. Like it literally just, it's just like a part of the song now.
That's so funny. That used to never be the thing. Like there was a time when you liked the song and you loved it enough to care about the production, you had to look in the liner notes. And then that made you like, you know, oh, okay, nah, I really like, you're having those conversations, but you know who produced this joint? But you know who produced track 8? And you can have those conversations also because it was one producer doing the whole project.
Yeah, that's the only thing about it that I don't like. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not here for the idea of, I mean, I'm here for a collaborative effort, like one album where it's you and this one other person. Mm-hmm. Like, it'll do. But it's just like for it to carry on into the singles. It seems kind of limiting.
Yeah, especially when the producers seem to... It's like they don't have the need or the requirement to give us dynamic projects. Mm. And like, I'm not mad at the current trend of just, you know, entire projects being one vibe,
right,
and one feel and one emotion. I'm not mad at that. It's just something I'm not used to, and something like, if I had to listen to that, if I had to think about what percentage of my total listening experience would vibe, and I'm just giving it a name, vibe, right, music be, it would be like 15%.
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel like even within that, it's all the exact same vibe.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like, okay, when I'm ready to have that emotion, I'm ready to go in that place, and I listen to those artists. Outside of that, those artists don't give me enough range within the project.
Right.
Whereas you'll have some producers that can give you a wide range of emotion and work with that artist. And, you know, it's really what, you know, it's what the artist wants to do, ultimately. They're both artists, the producer and the vocalist, you know. So it depends on where they are.
Yeah, I'm eager to see like her branch out.
Mm.
Like this next project apparently is going to be like a 2-disc.
Okay.
Like it's going to be like,
wait, from summer?
Yeah.
I thought she was done.
Like I don't know.
We doing those. She don't know.
Well, I think she was done with touring. I don't even know.
Okay.
But
all right,
this next project is supposed to be like Over It. Like one seat. This is supposed to be like the Over It vibe.
Okay.
And the other side is gonna be like the soulful stuff.
All right. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah.
Come through. Come through, Summer Walker. All right. Cool. I'm glad she's not over to the point that we won't get more projects.
Right.
Album assignments. So, you gave me Solange, When I Get Home. I forgot this project came up.
Yeah.
Until I listened to it again. When you gave it to me, then I recognized one of the singles. And then I looked at the art, and I'm like, this is the exact same art. It's for the exact same shoot from the previous album. Okay, all right. Kind of threw me off. Cool. Then I gave you Mos Def and Talib Kweli are Black Star.
Right.
So let's jump into these. So top 3 tracks for me from When I Get Home. Of course, Benz. Hello.
Yes.
That joint is my, that's my jam. Way to the Show. Stay Flow. And my honorable mention is actually an interlude, Exit Scott one.
Mm.
I love that joint. Like I had that on repeat for a while.
I wish the do you remember the interlude? I think it's like right before that one, the one where it's like it's not screwed.
Yeah,
I wish that one was longer.
yeah, I do remember that. Overall, I'll be honest, I had to listen to it a couple times to warm up to it, only because. So do you know who did the bulk of the production on this?
Nah, I don't.
Is it a range of people?
Yeah, I think it's okay. A range. Like The Dream is on some of it. Pharrell is on some of it. And then she does some production too.
Some of the production was throwing me off in the way that the snares and drum work overall on some of the songs just seemed like a little bit overproduced. It was overkill.
Mm.
And it created like this messy amalgam of a song for a couple of them in the way that, okay, I feel like the production, it was, it's hard to explain. It's busy, but not cohesive.
Gotcha.
So it was very easy. So it did service in the way that it was very easy to separate her vocals and her lyrics from the production because it didn't quite marry properly for me, just on some of the tracks.
I feel it.
So because of that, it was, you know, I had to listen to it a couple of times. And then in doing so, I appreciated those tracks more. But initially, I could... excuse me. That's what happens when you record late, B, trying to get the people what they want on a weeknight. But revisiting the album, I can imagine me listening to this once and being like, oh, I'm cool.
Whoa, okay.
Just like the first... Because I know this isn't my first time listening to it.
Yeah.
I think I'm pretty sure, just with Ben's, that I attempted to listen to this album before and it didn't leave an impression on me the way it did when I revisited because you assigned it to me.
I feel that. Mm-hmm. And I understand, like, the sonics of this album, they're kind of in the direction of what you would typically not be all that much here for. Mm-hmm. Like, you really like the Headley Street Dreams album.
Yeah, but some of the production on here reminds me of what I love from the internet.
Gotcha.
But when I get it from the internet, it's in drops here and there.
Mm-hmm. I'm looking at the list of producers, and it makes sense. Like, it's a lot. It's like star studded. Like, we got Metro Boomin, okay. Earl Sweatshirt.
Oh wow,
Pharrell Williams. Like, it's a lot of people on the Sonics, the Dream.
Okay,
yeah, it's a lot going on.
That makes sense.
So I get it.
So what's that? Remember that song on the Carters that Pharrell produced that you don't like?
Nice.
Right, there's a beat on here that sounds like that.
Yep. Sound of Rain.
And I'm like, no.
And the crazy thing about it is Nice sounds like Neon Guts by Lil Uzi Vert, and he produced that too.
Interesting.
So he's doing something similar.
Yeah, he's No skateboard P. That ain't it. That ain't working for me. So, Black Star, what'd you think?
Black Star. I really like this project. It was really, like, I love the mix on it. Mm. Like, it's very, it makes all of the songs, like, kind of merry.
Yeah.
And they kind of transition.
It's a warm mix.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I like those two, Mos Def and Talib together. Is this, like, the only project that they have together?
Zion, this was, when this project dropped, it was on Raucous. It was the golden era of hip-hop. It was just, like, one of those instant classics soon as it dropped.
Right.
And every Mos Def fan and every Talib Kweli fan and every Black Star Collective fan has been waiting for the follow-up for this. This came out, what, 97, I think? Like, or maybe even later than that. But we've been waiting for this since then.
Wow. So this is a one-time thing.
Yeah. But here's the thing.
There's a catch.
Madlib just recently in an interview said, yeah, second Black Star album's done. I've done it.
Oh yeah, I remember us talking about this.
Right.
Album. Right.
So now what?
But I feel like it's not gonna have the same vibe.
I don't think it'll have the same vibe. I think it'll have a dope vibe. So Madlib did a project with Talib called Liberation.
Mm-hmm.
And that was kinda like, it was after Food. It was after Mad Villain, I'm sorry. And it was like a good holdover for me.
Right.
Like, I love that project. Liberation is dope as hell. I think I'm looking forward to it not having that vibe.
Right.
I'm looking forward to it having a really dope new vibe. Because Madlib is a cannon. Like, you can, come on.
Yeah.
But I'm looking at that album and it coming out, just like waiting on the album Mos Def did with Manny Fresh. And, you know, like, Mos does, he does a lot of work that just doesn't come out.
Yeah, I couldn't imagine doing an entire album and not putting it out.
Especially from Black Star, like, Zion, the entire world is waiting.
Yeah.
It's just crazy.
It's just like that gap. Mm-hmm. It's like, how is it? I wonder how the next one is going to sound, like, sonically.
Yeah. I feel like it's something they just recorded maybe within the last 2 years, honestly. But I think they've recorded a wealth of stuff in between then and now.
True.
That'll just never see the light of day.
But yeah, my top three from that was Determination.
Okay.
Thieves in the Night.
Mm.
Respiration.
Okay.
And Yo Yeah as an honorable mention.
Okay. So Thieves in the Night is like, that's a fan favorite. Mm-hmm. That was like my honorable mention. Twice in a Lifetime, I love that joint. The Posse Cut at the end, that was crazy. Brown Skin Lady was a classic off that album. And then Definition, they had the video for that. Like, that was just ill. Like, man. Oh, yeah.
I like them with Common, too. Mm-hmm. Like, I low-key kind of made me want more Black Star and Common.
Yeah.
I enjoyed him more here.
Yeah, Respiration is, like, that's one of your Uncle Banks' favorite songs. Like, Respiration is just a joint, like, man, everybody brought it. The beat was great. Like,
right.
Come on, it's just a perfect hip hop song.
In the bass line. Yes. That bass line is insane.
That bass line is driving. Absolutely. All right, cool. So we don't need to do album assignments for the next show because we already have that secured from our double batch from before.
Right.
So let's hop into some pop culture. All right. Worst up first. Nick Cannon and Eminem.
Oh, God. Two people I'm really not all that fond of.
Oh my God. Why and how are we here? So, okay. I was discussing this with... Oh, excuse me. Shout out to Sean again. I'm discussing this with Sean. And I was saying... we were talking about the Fat Joe album, which, you know, we'll be discussing a little bit later on. But I was saying how Fat Joe's album and that song did not need an Eminem verse. Because no one needs an Eminem verse. Let me just put this PSA out there. If there's anyone that's sitting on this verse from M that y'all waiting to use on a project, toss it. Just toss it. No one wants to hear that shit. Like, no one wants to hear this verse, dude. He's been doing the same thing for a while, and apparently he's going to continue to do the same thing. As soon as I heard him come at Mariah, I was like, ugh.
Yeah, I mean, all that on top of the fact that he loves rapping about beating women. Like,
right.
There was a, more recently, there was a leak of him talk, like he, some punchline he tried to put together about, it was basically in the tone of justifying Chris Brown beating Rihanna. Mm. And Rihanna is like the reason for two of his most recent like biggest songs.
Right. Right. She's on Relapse.
Yeah, Love the Way You Lie and Monster. Those are like his two like his most recent hits.
Yeah.
And he like kind of dissed her in a song that never got released, but they put it was like a snippet that got leaked.
Did she respond to it?
Nah.
She got to be looking at. She got to be feeling like I should never work this.
Right,
thing.
Like gave you two hits because nobody would have really cared about those songs.
Yeah, yo, he's oh my God, he's such an idiot. There's this allegiance to M that a lot of hip hop fans have because, like, apparently, you know, he's the best white boy to ever do it, and you know, he's in everybody's top five. I'm like, on some real, I'll go on a record right now. This is directed at anyone that still has Eminem in their top five. You are trash. Like, if M today is in your top five hip hop artists, top five MCs today,
yeah, it just doesn't make sense.
You don't know what you're talking. Like, chill. Don't have any hip hop conversations, babe.
There's like this veiled idea that he like restored hip hop. And it's like, I keep seeing it. Like,
that's some racist
and,
bullshit.
Right. And the conversation of Eminem in pop culture is still, like, kind of new to me because it was.
Right. You didn't grow up.
Right. And I don't. Like, hip hop is not, like, the main genre that I keep up with on top of that. But it's just, like, this whole idea that he restored hip hop and then it being, like, pushed by.
Well, 50.
Yeah. Like, big black names in hip hop. It's kind of weird.
I will say this. There was a time period when M was like a battle axe. See? Like, you knew not to fuck with him. If you did say something slick, he was so hungry and always had that chip on his shoulder, which made sense, you know, being a white battle rapper. Like, I gotta be extra, extra, extra nice. I can never let anybody take any shots at me. If you take a shot at me, I have to obliterate you. Right. That's how he was responding to people. Mm-hmm. Like, it was just like, oh, you're this. He became the, like, don't diss M. Like, y'all are tripping. Don't diss M. Mm-hmm. He's gonna say some wild shit. And it just kept getting wilder and wilder. And it was to the point where, like, you don't want to let M off the leash, because he may not end your career, but he's going to say some shit you cannot bounce back from.
Right.
And it wasn't even like he was, it wasn't like the 50 Cent style or the Cam'ron style or even the Jay and Nas style of beefing where they're digging things up. Mm-hmm. He would just create outlandish situations that never occurred.
Gotcha.
Paint these stories and you're just like, God damn. Like,
right.
You know, like Kendrick did in Control. Like, he just say some, you like, oh my, okay, I'm cool.
Right.
Don't want that work. So there was definitely a time when that was happening. And when he was more engaged in the battle scene and just, you know, improving himself as an artist, there was a lot less of the misogyny. On top of just where we were as a culture, the misogyny bothered us less. To speak 100% honest, yeah. The misogyny and the homophobia was not something that was on our radar to be concerned with,
right?
At all. So it gave everyone space to play, and you know, but he just never got off it.
Right. That's what's like. I'm like, that's what's causing like me to be confused as to why there's still so many like major black publications and like black names in music, like, mm-hmm. just backing this. I'm just like.
Really, y'all haven't grown out of this shit yet,
right? Like, and he hasn't like
matured.
Like, he hasn't matured past the point of picking beef with women.
Yeah, so or using women as a device. You know what I'm saying? So as soon as I heard her name, I was just like, anyway. And it's early in the verse too. But I was talking to Sean about it. I said, if I understand Fat Joe putting M on the song because it's an M verse, but at the same time, M got on this song and did himself. He did some other shit. He didn't contribute to the song. And then Sean was like, "Oh no, he was getting, this is him taking shots at Nick Cannon, because Nick Cannon has said something recently about him." Mm. I said, "Okay, so Nick Cannon says something about M. M drops a diss on Fat Joe's album. It happens. People do it. But then apparently, Nick Cannon has dropped two disses in response to them. And now Obie Trice has jumped into it. I don't think you know Obie Trice.
Nah, but I've heard that name.
Obie Trice is from, he's from Shady.
Okay.
He wasn't part of D12.
I was just about to ask.
But he was definitely, you know, down with Shady. Obie Trice is dope. I feel like Obie should have just never stopped making music. Mm-hmm. He's one of those artists, kind of like a Freeway, where they can be dope all by themselves and dope in collaboration with, and they can play off people very well. But I don't know what happened with him personally and why he's not doing music. Mm-hmm. But this was not the person that you pop up. And
right.
Yeah, you don't need just to like, jump to M's defense.
Right. Having that background, that's kind of weird. Like, this is what calls you out.
But I mean, it seems to be kind of like the common thread with anyone that is either sign to Shady Aftermath, that M took a chance on. Everyone feels as though they need to defend this dude. One, as if he can't defend himself. Mm-hmm. Two, as if you need to be associated with that bullshit.
Right.
I didn't get to watch the video of the Griselda responding to the Nick Cannon songs, but the title for the article basically said that they didn't feel, you know, mm-hmm. affected by Nick Cannon's disses, and they shouldn't. I don't feel as though anybody Griselda owes Eminem anything on some real shit. Like I said, you know, before we were recording, they're doing him a favor. They're doing Shady a favor. They're giving him street cred. They're giving that label real dope artists that are killing it. Like, they're killing street rap right now.
Right, so. And this is like, when was it ever a thing in like rap for a bunch of people to come in and fight your battle for you?
That's actually the way it was, Z.
Wow, really?
Yeah, posses, crews, squads, and if so, yeah, definitely. Like, if there was, yes, there was when Jay and Nas were beefing. As a matter of fact, yeah, when Jay and Nas were beefing, shoot, when the Lox, when Jada and Beans were beefing, like everybody jumps in. So when Jay and Nas was beefing, Nas dropped a freestyle where he pretty much put almost all of Rockefeller in it. Like, put all their names in it. It was dope as hell. And State Property. So, oh yeah, best believe it.
So like, it's just they like collective beef.
Bruh.
Label beef.
Listen, they went to Power 99. Jay was in town. They at the station.
Oh, wow.
Everybody just took turn killing it on freestyles. What? Like, so Bleak, Beans, Chris and Me, Freeway. It was crazy. Like, these are the moments that, like, this, yeah. So it was the same thing when it was Rockefeller versus Dipset. Entire crews. D12 has definitely jumped to M's defense. Slaughterhouse has definitely jumped to M's defense. These are, you know, crews.
Right.
That's definitely just it's how it's been. Definitely. That's classic hip hop beefing. I just feel like, M, I won't say he starts too much shit, but the vibe he's been on for the last, I guess, 10 years, however many projects, has been something that you just need to stay a distance from.
Right.
If you're another artist, just distance yourself from that, because for what? You know what I mean? For what? Like, really? Like, at this point, everyone should be able to see through Eminem. Like, I'm not doing this. When he did that freestyle where he was, like, in a parking garage or in a abandoned building. Oh, my God. Building,
yeah, where he's, like, talking about beating up Lana Del Rey.
Oh, my God.
And that's the next thing. Like, the only time you really hear about Eminem these days is when it's about it, whether it's, like, a scandal or beef. Like, that's the only time you hear about Eminem.
Have you ever heard about anyone beefing with as many female pop stars?
Oh my God.
Female pop stars don't beef with as many female pop stars.
It started with like Christina Aguilera.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Christina Aguilera, Mariah Carey, Lana Del Rey, Rihanna.
Britney.
Yeah, Britney.
Like, what are we doing?
It's kind of weird.
It's kind of weird, fam. It's kind of weird. You need to chill out. And his supporters, his fans, you also need to chill out. Like, chill all the way out. Speaking of those that need to chill.
Oh, man.
What are we going to do with Drake?
The segue.
What are we going to do with Drake, B? Why are you texting Billie Eilish? Why is this happening?
I don't want to watch Drake become this person.
Is he becoming this person or revealing himself?
True. It's just like, I don't want to watch. I don't want to see it either. Yeah, it's like, I don't want to watch Drake go. I guess I'm trying to say is, I don't want to watch Drake go from somebody that I like and I'm rooting for to somebody that I'm just like, one, very tired of, and someone who I can't like stand by.
Right.
Like, I don't want to watch.
Despising.
Right. Like, I don't want to watch Drake become the bad guy. I don't want to watch Drake become Kanye West.
Oh, man. Can anyone really become Kanye West?
Well, Kanye West in terms of scandal and just being canceled.
Yeah, Drake's making it tough, B. He's making it tough. Like, what is your excuse?
Yeah.
Why are you texting Billie Eilish? Why, like, is it the same angle that you use with Millie Bobby Brown? You know, you're just talking about boys and I'm coaching. Like, what are you doing? What are you doing?
And it's just, like, so sad because it's, like, when I was talking about it, we were talking about it earlier. It's like, I want to look at it like we're in a perfect world where, you know, he can just have good intentions and be an older figure in the industry giving these girls or these younger figures in the industry advice or, you know. But it's like, how likely is that? And just like paying attention to the climate and paying attention to the reception that it got the first time that it happened, why would you put yourself in the same situation for it to happen again?
Yeah. Like, what are you doing, fam?
Right.
Yeah. I want to say I'm curious to see how this plays out, but I'm not. I'm not. I just feel like it's going to happen again. It's going to be another young actress or another young artist of whatever discipline. And we're going to keep hearing about this. And we're going to keep hearing about this until we hear about something.
Like, that's what I'm dreading. That's what I'm dreading. Like, I don't want to. And I know that's like ridiculous, but it's like, I don't want to see.
It's like ridiculous.
I don't want to see Drake be this person. Like, I want to see Drake's legacy play out different. Mm. Like, I want Drake to be a better person.
I'm curious to see who's going to start distancing themselves. Because here's the thing. This is what we're hearing about.
Right.
This is what's making it to, you know, into the news. We don't know what's happening behind closed doors.
Right.
Yeah. We just don't know. But if this is any indication, I will say this. I do like when these inappropriate situations are brought to light, if only to remind us how frequently it happens,
right,
and how prevalent it is in society. People tend to see like the Harvey Weinsteins and the Bill Cosbys, and I'm gonna throw CeeLo's whack ass in there too, as anomalies. And I feel weird saying this, what I loved about the Aziz situation was I was able to relate to it. It was very commonplace. The way he conducted himself, I got into a lot of arguments with different dudes about that shit.
Right. I actually don't know what all happened, but I do remember like coming home from school day and you were like,
I'm screaming top lines, arguing with a friend, a very dear friend of ours who will not be named, but arguing with a very dear friend that everyone that we know, all the men in our orbit, need to stop acting like, one, what Aziz did was cool, and two, like they're not guilty of the same behavior.
Right.
So that was my issue. And the way he handled it is the way we're all supposed to be able to handle it. Hey, for those of you who didn't realize that sexual coercion was a thing and didn't realize that that is some fucked up shit to do, now we know. So don't act like you didn't do it, and don't defend it because you know you did.
Right.
You know? So I am happy that these things make it to light and we get to have discussions about it. I'm not happy that it's happening.
But yeah, it opens up the discussion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The dialogue's necessary. So I think it's really important when it's celebrities that we have these dialogues more earnest and more frequently, so people can understand that, yeah, you might think that, you know, that one cousin or that uncle or that, you know, that coach might have some ways about them, and that's easier for you to understand because that, to you, that's someone normal, that's someone regular, it's someone you can relate to.
Right.
But understand these celebrities, these stars, these people that we put on pedestals, yeah, they're just normal people doing the same reckless normal shit.
Right.
So don't idolize them, please.
It's so odd to me. Like, I get so embarrassed when I see people like fan out. Like, today there was like this video in the Shade Room. This girl was like, and I don't want to like drive us too far from the topic, but long story short, this girl was like losing her mind over the baby. And it just gets me so, like, it makes me, it's like secondhand embarrassment.
Did she see him?
Yes, saw him in a store and, like, caused an entire scene to the point where as though he had to acknowledge her.
Oh,
or else he would have just seemed like an asshole, like, ignoring this nice fan. But it's like, I hate the idea that I mean, I hate the fact that we're still like stuck here in acting as if artists and public figures are not just like regular people.
Right.
Because it's like, I don't know, like a part of me wants to like have a conversation with someone who truly idolizes some another, like an artist. And it's like, so if you don't see them as like a human, what do you see
them? What do you see them as? What are they to you? Yeah, that's super strange. That's super strange. All right. So we're at that point. We got the main project.
Our first solid rap.
First in a minute.
Project in a minute, yeah.
Fat Joe and Dre, Family Ties. So this is Dre, for anyone that's confused. This is Dre from Kool & Dre, the production duo. This is their project, Family Ties. So for Fat Joe, this is his 14th album, counting collaborations. Mm-hmm. First album dropped in 1993. This is longevity, people. This is longevity. Understand this. Shoot. So what, in 3 years, this will be 30 years worth of album?
Yeah.
That's amazing. Jeez. The singles for this project, Pullin', Yes, and Deep. So my songs, my top three songs and honorable mention, Heaven and Hell, Pullin', Hands on You, and Yes was my honorable mention with Cardi.
I'm so surprised you didn't put, you did. Hands on You, mm-hmm, with Bryson. Because I was like, yeah. I'm like, I know he loves Bryson. I'm like, this has to be one of his top three. But yeah, that was in mine too. Mine were Hands on You, Drive, and Deep.
Okay. Yeah, Deep is tough.
Listen, Bryson's growing on me.
Is he now?
Bryson is growing on me. Before you say
that, they've heard us talk about Bryson over and over again. It's been a while.
Yes.
First project, you did like, your face. Okay, it was the second. I need a refresher every time.
Sorry.
It was the second project that you liked better?
Yes.
Okay.
The second one was good.
So the first project, you were like, nope, from the rip.
Yeah, that first one, I don't know.
Yeah.
It just wasn't.
So what is this? So what does this collab do for you?
So it's not just this collab, but his recent collaborative efforts, and then me looking more into his discography, like just his singles and his throwaways.
Okay,
I'm into his writing style and his delivery and the arrangement of his vocals, and everything that I like about that is on Hands on You.
Okay,
like the way that. I don't know who's engineering his stuff. I feel like he knows a thing or two about production, but the sound that he goes for with his vocal, I'm really here for it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and it's consistent no matter where he is.
Right, right.
Yeah. Good point. Overall, what'd you think of the project?
I like the fact that it had a throwback vibe.
With some of the samples?
Yeah, like it had like a throwback vibe, but it wasn't like, you know, this Fat Joe and I'm gonna do a throwback album like this good, you know. Like it wasn't like drowned in, you know, we're gonna take it back, you know. Yeah. it was
terrible,
but I liked it because it implemented that feel, but it had the sonics of today.
Okay.
It was just like a nice mesh of the two. Took away from it.
Okay. Yeah. First off, I was totally feeling Heaven and Hell, because that was a Woo flip. And oh man, like I said, jeez. Oh, he knows how to put together a very well rounded project that'll touch fans that he's had from day one to staying relevant with fans of music today.
Right.
And when I first listened to the project, the first thing that popped in my head was Lean Back, because for a while, for me, Lean Back as a DJ especially was one of the biggest comeback songs from an artist of, you know, coming from 93, like Lean Back was a huge single.
Yeah.
And it was like, do y'all realize this is like digging in the crates, super underground hip hop, Fat Joe?
Mm.
Do y'all
see, now that's what amazed me, because I don't know much about Fat Joe prior to Lean Back.
Yeah.
So when you said that he came, like he started in 93, I'm like, whoa. And then just now, and then hearing this and his ability to mesh those throwback, that feel with what's current today, that's major.
Yeah, Fat Joe knows what he's doing. Fat Joe knows what he's doing, and he's proving that project after project. I love the pace of his releases.
Mm-hmm.
I love that he doesn't feel, it feels like he's releasing music when he feels it right. Feels it's right.
Yeah.
He's not pressured by, oh shit, this is a new wave, I gotta get on it.
Or if I don't drop, I'm gonna fall off. Like, right. I don't get that vibe from him. Like, not his rollout, like nothing. Yes, like, it's just like authentic Fat Joe.
There's a level of confidence in his projects. I love what Dre brings to the table. I'm trying to remember the song that I used to play all the time. I'm gonna look it up right now. Fat Joe, Dre, So Excited. Oh!
Mm.
And I'm pretty sure we had discussed this song in the podcast. We had to have. I played this song so much. It's another old school flip, so Eric being Rock and Flip. But they killed this shit. Like, I thought So Excited was gonna be on here. But yeah, I've always loved Kool and Dre. I like hearing Dre rap. He's good. I like his writing too. So yeah, man, definitely check this project out, y'all. Definitely check out the Fat Joe and Dre Family Ties. I recommend it. So last but not least, we have our collaborations.
Right.
Who do you want to hear a project from?
So, okay, this would have made a little more sense had I thrown in the Abra song, because I don't know how familiar you are with Abra.
Not very.
But she gives, I'm trying to think of something to compare it to. It's not overwhelmingly I don't think it would be on your radar right now, like where she is as an artist right now. Maybe the next project.
Okay.
But she gives like a, it's like a night, like her drums are very 90s pop driven.
Okay.
But her voice is very like, it reminds me of Maya.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. So just that, just those two elements.
Okay.
But don't get excited, because
damn it, Zion. How dare you?
Because in her voice sounds like Maya.
Okay.
But she's not using it the way that Maya uses it. Like Maya's voice,
interesting,
she uses it over very bright and you know, joyous tunes.
Okay.
With Abra, she's really latched onto this dark wave.
Hmm.
So she has this very like pretty voice, but the sonics and the lyrics and the way that she's using her voice, it's very mystical and dark. And you know
what it sounds like? It sounds like it, and I know, well, I don't want to assume, though, the description you just gave reminded me of Banks.
Ah, you know, I'll do the absolute most when there's literally just because I'm like so like latched on to what I'm listening to and like in my own head. But yeah, Banks, like that's literally Banks.
Abra, Banks.
Yeah.
Good. Okay. Good. Yeah, I remember hearing Banks the first time. Her voice is just, it's well, it definitely has something to do with the mixing, like that echo to it, but it's such a pure like feel.
Yeah, and there's not many people who sound like Banks. Yeah. Like her, the tone of her voice is really unique. Yeah.
Yes. But the production is soft and clean.
Right.
Yeah. And yeah, and the drum work is heavy too.
Right.
You go, I mean, I'm gonna spend some time tomorrow listening to some Banks.
Yeah, you really like that first project. Oh yeah. Her first project.
Definitely did. Definitely. She had some work on there.
Goddess. I think that, yeah, it's called Goddess.
Man. Okay.
I'm here for this.
Yeah. So I want to hear a project from Keisha Cole and Miguel.
I'm here for it. Under one condition.
What's the condition?
I need Keisha Cole to stay away from producers who make songs for rappers.
Okay.
Like, I don't want to hear any, like, ticking hi-hats. Like, you're not. I don't want to hear any 808s. I don't want to hear any Lex Luger snares. Like,
not Lex Luger.
I'm cool.
You took it back. Zion, how dare you?
That's, no, but it's just like, it's like her voice, when she was working with like P. Diddy and he was like executive producing and Kanye. Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, like go to the.
Come on, she'll let you go.
Yeah, go to the live instruments and that sound. Like they have her on these like. It's like these sounds like song, like these sounds like songs like that would have Future and like 2 Chainz on it.
No one needs that.
It's like, why? Like Keisha Cole is.
You're Keisha Cole.
She's a powerhouse.
Power. Thank you. There's the word.
So it's like the sonics are
clap powerhouse.
Yeah, and these sonics that she's choosing, it seems like she's just like there. It's not marrying. It's just like her over top of it.
Yeah.
So I think Miguel, her working with Miguel.
Yeah.
And Miguel likes to work with Salam Remy.
Oh.
So I feel like that would be.
This will be gonna get. Yeah. Salam keep coming back through. Man, yeah, I would love that.
Yeah.
I would really love that. One of these days. One of these days. Zion, we got a long list of dream collabs here.
At this point, it's literally just manifestation. It's the full moon. It's 2020, the last full moon of the decade.
Hello?
We're manifesting. We've been manifesting all year long.
It's true. It's true.
It's going to happen.
I can't wait. So now I want to listen to some Banks tomorrow. Now I want to listen to some Jayla Darden tomorrow. I'm probably going to listen to some Keisha Cole.
No, Jayla Darden is about to be like your whole deal. I know.
Feel it.
She has three projects.
Oh, God.
Two, like she has.
Where has she come from?
I don't know.
How long has she been out?
Not long. But she has like, it's like this project, like she has this ideas. It's called Ideas. So it's Ideas Part 1, Ideas Part 2, and then Onto Something is like her first like legit situation. But I think she's about to be your whole situation, especially seeing like how you gravitate to A-Marie and Tinashe.
Yeah come through, Jayla Darden. Hey y'all, check out Jayla Darden,
period.
Let me know what y'all think. Comment, let us know what your favorite Jayla Darden joints are. I'm gonna listen to what I want to anyway, because I'm defiant like that. However,
well, you sound like Willow Smith. Sorry.
You know I love me some Willow. You know I listen to that whole album for with the name I can't pronounce.
I do it anyway. Tell me what to do it anyway.
You gonna stop picking? Listen, Wait a Minute is one of the best songs.
Love that song.
All right.
It's not Natives of the Windy Forest from LA.
Another good song. She's traveled to windy forests all over the globe.
Give it to like Florence Welch or something. Like, it would have been more believable from her.
Zion, she's probably studied at the foot of some thousand-year tree.
This is true. You're right. You're right. I guess I'm just a pessimist. I don't know. But it's just like, okay, Will Smith's daughter from the windy forest. Like, that's terrible, huh?
Yes. To answer your question, it is terrible.
I'm sorry. I'm growing. I'm changing my ways. That's a reflection.
You are.
Quick reflection. I checked myself.
I'll give you that. You've gotten better. All right, y'all. So we will catch you in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, for Christmas.
With our Christmas episode, with our holiday episode. It's going to be super spectacular. We anticipate having a guest on that episode. Yes. We're not going to tell you who it is. Just stay tuned. And also, it's going to be a Christmas wish list.
Yes. So instead of our collab wish list, we're doing Christmas collab wish list, where we put together who we'd like to see recreate classic Christmas tunes.
Yep. It's going to be amazing.
Yeah. I'm amped.
Yeah. Me too. All right, y'all. We will catch y'all on the flip.
Yep.
Peace.